Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg. Check us out on the radio.com app. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Man, it is it's so nice. We have been, if you're just joining us, Sam and I haven't been on a Saturday morning in a while. This used to be our home. We started off the show talking about it's kind of like visiting our old home we moved away from as a kid, going back to the old neighborhood. And I want to thank, if it's Thomas's or Sean Thompson, but Thomas Mott, who you will regularly hear now as we go local on Saturday mornings before a full day of college football. He was off this morning, so I want to thank him for letting us come in here and play in his backyard. Shout out to Off the Hook Barbershop. They're happy to hear us. KB, Maurice, and the rest of the boys for calling up on this, third day of October. The stuff that took place on this day, I don't want to go back down the road of who we lost again. We talked about Bob Gibson earlier and the people we've lost. You were the one who sent me, of all people, I hadn't thought about her in forever, Helen Reddy. We lost her this past week. Mac Davis.
Don't get hooked on me.
Look at you. That's Casey. You know, Kasem. No, you're
actually,
right.
He actually wrote a couple of songs for Elvis.
Yes, he did. Too. He wrote In the Ghetto for Elvis. Was in one of the movies. Speaking of football, you heard the football music. We're going to get to that in just a second. He was in it was at North Dallas 40.
Yeah.
I never saw that movie. I heard, before some of the later ones, that was like the football movie that took you into the locker rooms and all that stuff. And he was in there. I think it was Nick Nolte was also in that movie.
Right.
Yeah. So that, anyway, we lost a lot of folks. A lot of folks celebrating birthdays today. We'll get to it in a minute. But you know what? Did you see this? And speaking of athletes, LeBron. You see this new house of his?
It's not.
It's his latest purchase, I should say.
Yeah.
How about that?
Recent acquisition.
$36 million house that was listed for $39. Now, let me bring you full circle on this house. If it's the house I think it is, this house was first owned Charles Boyer, the actor from the 30s and 40s, famous French actor.
Right.
What happened was he lost his contract at RKO Studios. You know, that was a big thing back in the day. All those guys were contract players. Okay, the studios owned them. If you worked for MGM, you couldn't go make one for Paramount for RKO. Well, he loses his contract or it ends. RKO Studios, in a way to help him out, took over payments on that house. So they own the house, right? Charles Boyer got money, moved somewhere else, but they own the house. Well, the majority owner of RKO Studios back in the day was Howard Hughes.
Whoa.
One of the most famous billionaires in this country. When I was growing up, I never heard of but two billionaires. Billionaires. There was Howard Hughes and J. Paul Getty. And I never really saw them. Of course, I think they might have been both dead by the time I heard their names. But Howard Hughes didn't live in the house. He gave it to his good friend, Katharine Hepburn. And Katharine Hepburn lived in this house that LeBron just mentioned. The reason I bring this up is because one of the greatest stories took place in this house. If you remember Katharine Hepburn, the person she hung out, I don't think they were ever married. They might have been, but for how long, I don't know. She hung out with Humphrey Bogart. You remember that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn were an item. Humphrey Bogart's buddies back in the day included the likes of Frank Sinatra, a young Frank Sinatra who didn't know Hollywood, so he was sniffing at Humphrey Bogart's heels. They would come over to this house, and I don't know all the famous names, but it would be Humphrey Bogart would be holding court with a number of known actors, people in show business, executives and whatever, and they would just drink like they used to drink back then in the 40s and 50s. And as the story goes, Katharine Hepburn walked into the room one night, saw them just blasted, and Sinatra hanging over the side of a sofa and Humphrey Bogart hanging over another futon or whatever, and she walked in and said, "Look at this rat pack." And that's where it came from. Katharine Hepburn is the one who gave them that nickname back in the day after coming in and like walking in on a group of people on New Year's Day looking at what they did the night before. Humphrey Bogart dies.
Yikes.
Humphrey Bogart dies that shortly thereafter or whatever. But anyway, Frank Sinatra takes the name. He hooks up with Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and the rest of them, and the rest is history. But that's where that name came from.
Peter Lawford. Joey Bishop.
So, yeah, that's the Rat Pack story. And I think it happened in that house. LeBron's going to turn that thing around and sell it for probably $45 million, but whatever. That's a famous house in Hollywood lore. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Like I said, you heard the music earlier. We talked about the NFL earlier just a little bit. But as we get ready for Monday night's game, man, how do you approach dissecting and trying to give some understanding to this Falcons team?
The thing that's aggravating about this team is that they played well enough to win the last 2 weeks, and they've been creative in ways to lose it. I think that's the aggravating thing. If they were getting blown out the last 2 weeks, you would feel a certain way. But the fact that they've lost games the way that they lost them is the things that makes you, as you like to say, walk out in traffic. and that's the thing you wonder. What do they do this week? They're a banged-up team. Got a lot of people injured. Yesterday the list came out, a number of players that either saw limited practice time or no practice time. This extra day will give them a chance to prepare more, but also a chance for some of the guys who are banged up a bit to get healthy enough to go out and play Monday night. You just want to see them go out and play a complete game. And the thing of it is, you're going up to Lambeau, which they're not going to be fans or as many fans as they normally would be. So you take that factor out of it. But you got Aaron Rodgers, who's playing like a man on a mission. He's playing like a guy who was thoroughly insulted by his team drafting a quarterback virtually back in the spring. And he's out to go out and prove a point. So that's the other thing you're dealing with. You're dealing with him anyway, but he's out to prove a point this year, and he's playing like it. And that's what you're going into the teeth of. You know, you've had some secondary problems. You got some guys who've been injured. I think Kendall Sheffield is due to be back this week. He will help. Ricardo Allen's a little dinged up. KZ is a little dinged up. So I mean, that's the thing. He's going to test your secondary, and if Tack McKinley's not there to try to put some contain on this guy, to try to bring some pass rush and contain him some, because his thing is not always scrambling to get yards. His thing is extending plays. And that's been the hallmark of his career. Just the other fraction of a second, long enough for somebody to get open, and he finds them and he dissects you. So that's the thing that the Falcons are facing when they go up there. But to play four quarters, I think is the main thing they would have to do. Maybe a road trip is good for them to a place like that, and you know, they can come out and play a great game. As I listened to Randy McMichael, you know, earlier this week, and he said it can go one of two ways. If you can come out, they play well and be there with them, give themselves a chance, or they come out and things go bad early on and just snowballs and it becomes a, you know, very, very bad scene. That's the thing you don't want to, because then it almost screams to make a move at the top with coaching situation. And that's the backdrop, you know, for the Falcons, obviously, this week is what the fan base is wondering, you know, how long we wait for this. But you know what doing that means for this team, especially if you do it this early in the season when you have so much more football to play. So you want to see the team go up there and get some things turned around and try to get a win Monday night.
You said it a minute ago. It's that fourth quarter. You know, we talk about the Braves and what they do from the seventh inning on. And you wish that somebody could go up from the Falcons camp and get a little piece of that over at Truist and bring it back to them. Because, I mean, when you sit there and – now, listen, last week, and I said this to you last week, the lone person I didn't want to see in this game, if I'm the Falcons, of course, you were trying to put me on one side of the fence or the other because they were playing the Bears, but Nick Foles is no joke. We know that about him. We know that he comes in and puts out dumpster fires. He's one of the. He will be looked at as one of the best backups of all time, given what he's done. Him and Hostetler, and they do it in those big games. So when he comes in last week and does what he does, and not only that, but then they hold the Falcons scoreless in the fourth quarter. I just don't know. You got all these Pro Bowlers. You got all these first-round draft picks on this Falcons team. You got a team that sniffed it. I mean, are we talking about something mental right now that's collective, that sort of collectively these guys wilt late in the game or don't know how to hold the lead? They play scared. I don't know. I've heard all kinds of things this particular week, and I don't know what one to put my finger on. But I just don't know. You don't want to call them mentally weak. But what is it about holding on to these leads? We've seen it the last couple weeks. Are they playing scared? Would you say that if you were trying to describe how this team plays?
It seems like at times they go into a mode where you play instead of playing to win, you play not to lose.
Defense, they call that, right?
You go away from something that's been successful for you, and I guess, and that's what everybody was sounding off on about this week, that the running game was doing good things, and all of a sudden you just totally went away from it, and you ended up with some possessions where you gave the ball right back to the Bears. And so that's the thing. How do you guard against that? I mean, the players are going out there executing the plays that are called, are doing their best to execute them, and not very well, and the other teams come back. So that's what they got to avoid. You don't want to give Aaron Rodgers extra opportunities to have the ball. First thing you want to do is sustain drives Monday night. You want to sustain drives and keep that dude on the sideline with his baseball cap on as much as you can.
You know, we talk about the Braves get ready for their divisional series against the Marlins, and the Marlins, wrap their arms around this derogatory name they were given, bottom feeders, because of somebody else in the league. She's like, well, they'll never, when this whole season started and because of what they went through, and they were given this name and they embraced it. And that was one of the things that propelled them, they believe, to where they are right now. You could say the same thing about this season and what's going on up in Green Bay and what Aaron Rodgers is doing. We talked about this at the beginning of the season. This guy is playing with a chip on his shoulder. And he is feeling more comfortable with his new head coach and the system that they have installed. So, they go out last year and they pick a quarterback in the first round, and people are saying, oh, they're lighting a fire under Aaron Rodgers, and they're going to move on in a couple years. And this is a guy who has the ability to take over games, and if he's comfortable in the system that he's in, which it looks like that's the case, he's going to play, like I said, with a chip on his shoulder. He feels like he's been taken off that mantle of top quarterbacks in the league. People that know football, they haven't. But the conversation is about other people now. It's about Patrick Mahomes. It's about Russell Wilson and a few others. But Aaron Rodgers is, oh, yeah. And by the way, let's not forget about Aaron Rodgers. By the way, there's another person who's in that category too, Sam. Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, how about that?
Let's remember there's a dude in Pittsburgh who's just been out for a couple years, but he got two rings too, and he seems to be back and healthy.
Yep. And speaking of Pittsburgh, we wonder when we're going to get to see them. And that is the big story of the National Football League this week. Tennessee Titans just shutting down their facility, and their game with the Pittsburgh Steelers being postponed. They're going to make that up at a later date. But, man, that was a story that people didn't want to see for the National Football League. And so – That's going to be talked about all day tomorrow morning. It really will be. That's going to be a big backstory over the week.
Coming up next, we are going to talk baseball. Talk about those Marlins as they get ready to take on the Braves. Joe Patrick, our own Joe Patrick, is going to join us. And there was a decision made having to do with Major League Baseball, a name change. We'll get Joe's opinion on that next. And I was waiting for you to say something. I teed up something for you. It wasn't really fair, but I teed up something for you, Sam. And I was waiting for your response. You didn't give it to me, and I'll tell you what that is in the next segment. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And check us out on the radio.com app. We'll Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Man, you did one in the first segment. You ain't done one in an hour and a half. Give us, Mr. Crenshaw, what today
I've
is.
Done two already. I've done two.
Done two? Okay, well, maybe the second one I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy contriving a story.
Yeah, you need to clean that up, man.
I will, but I don't want to step on Joe's time, but I will. But see, this is something that happens to all of us. All of us. You have them. I had one. I had a monumental one. I mean, it was because I was just so happy we were on a Saturday. But that story I told, I got to do a little twist to it. But on this third day of October, as we get ready to welcome Joe into Talks of Baseball, we say happy birthday to these people or acknowledge their birthdays. Are you ready for this list on this day? This is crazy.
What you got?
Marcus Hayes. You ready? Marcus Haynes.
Yeah. Whoa.
For those of you who don't know, Marcus Haynes was the dribbling magician for the Harlem Globetrotters before Curly Neal. Dave Winfield. Dennis Eckersley. Fred Couples.
Whoa.
Now, here's one you're really going to have to, this is a niche one. Biff Henderson. Biff Henderson. India RE.
Wow.
Okay. India RE's birthday. Ernest Evans. You know who that is?
No.
Chubby Checker. That's a real name. I think it's Ernest Evans, something like that. Ernest Evans.
Yeah.
Chubby Checker's birthday. Tommy Lee.
Okay.
Of the famous boat trip and drummer for Motley Crue. Gwen Stefani. ASAP, I heard that laughing at Joe Nuke. He got that joke. Gwen Stefani, ASAP Rocky, and may he rest in peace. I came to this guy's party late, but have a great appreciation for him. Would have been Stevie Ray Vaughan's birthday.
Okay. Today, too. Oh, yeah, man.
So all them folks celebrating.
That's some
birthday.
Guitar right there. Right there.
Yeah. So anyway, Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. If he's done chuckling at my behind the door joke there, I want to welcome in Joe Patrick, our own Joe Patrick, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We go to Joe when we want
morning,
to
man. Baseball. Morning.
Morning, partner.
Hey, good morning, guys. Who could forget that famous Tommy Lee boat trip?
See, now you need to leave that alone. It's Saturday morning, man. Kids are going to soccer practice and stuff. Listen, before we get into the Braves and the series with the Marlins and all of that stuff, I want to ask you your opinion on a decision that was made this past week. And we have seen it in communities around the country when it comes to statues and renaming of things. But Major League Baseball took Kennesaw Mountains Landis' name off the MVP awards. Long overdue.
Yeah, probably the right thing to do is it was done with an overwhelming majority of the vote. I think that that speaks volumes as to the reason why the decision was made. And I think that there's plenty of guys that they can go to put the name on that trophy. I think Roberto Clemente is a really good one. He's always been one of my favorite players growing up as a kid, as like one of the legends of the game. And that's who I would vote for to replace the name on there. But, pretty big move.
Of the 313 votes, they got 89% voted in favor of removing Kennesaw Mountain Landis' name on the award. What was I going to say here? Yeah, Barry Larkin stepped up. Mike Schmidt, third baseman for the Phillies. Earl Terry Pendleton. They were all part of speaking their minds about having this name changed. So there you go. All right, man. We get ready for Tuesday night, the Marlins. And is this that year that they, just like the groundhog, where they just rear their head and all of a sudden appear, and then they'll go back underground for about 10, 15 years and, sit there and come up again? But this is but the surprising way the Marlins did it this year, how do you feel about their ascent to the division championship?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was talking about them on we've been doing some reaction shows on Facebook Live this week to the Braves, and just kind of keeping an eye on the Marlins, obviously, because of the potential at that point that they were going to meet the Braves in the next series. And, of course, now we know they are. They kind of remind me of the Braves to some extent in terms of a team that's young, dynamic, athletic, kind of very much like a modern-style baseball team that can beat you in a bunch of different ways, plays pretty good defense. They just don't really have a clear weakness. They don't also have a clear strength. They're kind of just a, a good, scrappy all-around ball team, and that's why I think that this season is set up really well for our team like the Marlins. The 60-game sprint where you've got younger guys who can deal with the congested schedule, the doubleheaders that have cropped up, some of the long road trips that have occurred, some of these weird circumstances that have presented themselves in the league. You know, they're one of those adapt. They're a team that's more able to adapt to the conditions of this season. And one of the things that Brian Snicker said before the season, as well as a bunch of other Braves players, was that the teams that were going to do the best during this awkward 2020 season were the teams that were going to be able to adapt to the irregularities of it all. And I think the Braves were one of those teams. We've seen them adapt over and over again to not just the season, but also the things that have occurred in terms of losing some of these pitchers that they were going to be relying on, like Soroka, Cole Hamels. They've been able to deal with those guys not being there. And I think that the Marlins have adjusted the same way. You know, their season got off to a really terrible start in terms of the Magic City incident, supposedly that could have happened when they came and played the Braves early in the season, that kind of threw the season off the rails a little bit for them. So a lot of credit to them, and I think it's going to be a really hard-fought series. It's going to be one that I know that people probably feel a little bit of confidence in, thinking that the Braves won 6 out of 10 against them this season, but, you know, it's a short series, 5-game series, anything can happen, and Braves going to have their hands full with the Marlins.
Spending some time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with our guy, Joe Patrick. And yes, folks, he is social. You can follow him on Twitter at JAPatrick200, at JAPatrick200. We saw two great pitching performances from the Braves. And Anderson, my goodness, he just spent a jewel. Will those two starters be enough? Do we need to think of who the third starter is, because now we go in the best of five?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you're going to want to see a good performance out of Kyle Wright, who's going to be your third starter. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they do need to go to a fourth starter, because there's no days off in this playoff series. So, I think the Braves starting pitching will obviously be tested a little bit more. But if you're a Braves fan, it's got to give you so much confidence to have seen the team win in the ways that it did against the Reds, obviously without giving up a single run over the course of the series, just pretty incredible there. Just how we all drew it up, right? But, like, just to see what you got out of a guy like Ian Anderson, I think gives you a ton of confidence heading into this series, because you didn't really exactly know what you were going to get out of him. Like, you knew through, you know, I think he had 6 starts during this regular season, and you could see in those 6 starts, he was a quality pitcher. You knew that this kid was going to, you know, have a good career ahead of him as an Atlanta Brave. But you just never know in these situations when you step into the postseason how a pitcher like that is going to react to the pressure, and all the other things that the postseason presents. And Ian Anderson just passed those tests with flying colors. You know, he just looks like a guy way beyond his years when he's out there. And that's something that all his teammates say about him as well. It's hard to imagine that he's only 21 years old, and he not only does he pitch the way he pitches, but he just carries himself in such a calm, you know, way that is so important for someone who to have playoff success. So all that to say, I think this series against the Reds really gives you a lot of clarity in terms of what you have at the top of that starting rotation. I think that you've got a Cy Young candidate type in your game one starter and a guy like Max Fried. And then I think that you have a really, really, really good number two starter in Ian Anderson. So even in a 5-game series, I think you're pretty confident that you have the two best pitchers in the series.
This is Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Yeah, speaking of that Reds team, Theo Epstein is on the phone with them. I don't know how long Bauer's contract is, but they need to get him there. Because I told Sam this as soon as it happened, I can't stand having Hugh Darvish being relied upon in a divisional game. Yeah, he pitched okay, but I never liked that fit with him in Chicago. And by the way, it's my fault that the Cubs lost.
No, listen to this.
It is.
Listen to this.
And I'll tell you what. Here, you ready for this? See, anytime Sam would bring up the success of the Cubs, I'm like, shh, don't say nothing. We don't want to boast in Chicago. That's what took everybody was flapping their wings and saying all kinds of nice stuff. And next thing you know, it's 108 years between World Series victories. So you don't want to say anything. So what did I do last week? I went out and pulled out and acknowledged, and I was going to bring it up on the show, the two no-hitters that were thrown this year in Major League Baseball. There were only two, Sam. Do you know who threw them? Joe?
I don't, actually, on the top of my head.
They were thrown by Alec Mills of the Cubs and Lucas Giolito for the White Sox.
That's right, yep.
The two Chicago teams, I was ready to crow about that, and next thing you know, both of them getting knocked out. See, I should have kept my mouth shut. That's the superstitious part of me here, man. But listen, going into this this playoff, how are you comfortable are you with feeling like the Braves are going to do this on the road? I guess this is all about how these teams play on the road. That's what we should talk about. There's no home field advantage, which was much like what's going on in the bubble in Orlando. So how do you feel about this road team, this Braves team, playing on the road against this Miami team? And I think it was the 29-9 victory which propelled Miami into feeling like, okay, the chip just got to be a brick on our shoulder. We don't like that, and this is the team we really want to go through to get to the championship series.
Yeah, I mean, this playoff certainly presents a different dynamic, not just for these teams, but I mean, just for the whole thing is different from this point forward, and it's not really anything I don't think that we can clearly project as to how some of these teams are going to be able to handle the situation of being locked in a bubble. And I know that that's one of the reasons why the Braves, you know, yesterday they did a full-on team workout. You know, it would have been easy for them to just kind of, you know, have a little bit of a personal day celebration, you know, kind of taking in the win and relaxing. But they were out there at Truist Park working out really hard. They wanted to get Kyle Wright some work, some of their pitchers some work, because I know Brian Snicker wants to just keep these guys on their feet, keep them moving before they get into this bubble situation where things are really locked down and they're kind of under more strict requirements to stay in their hotel rooms and things like that. There's not as much, you know, leeway for them to be outside, even walking around doing those kinds of things. So it's going to be very interesting to see how teams deal with that. I think physically more than anything, I think these teams are pretty used to at this point when they go on these road trips that, you know, it's kind of boring for them. They're kind of just stuck in their hotel rooms when they're not at the baseball fields. And so I think that the teams that are able to actually get themselves ready to go physically are going to be the teams that handle this well. I think the Braves, you know, they're on the younger side. I think that they have dealt with everything that, you know, all the irregularities of traveling, going on the road this season. They've dealt with that all very well. And I know that Travis d'Arnaud, when we talked to him the other day, he said that it's kind of exciting to you know, have that feeling that you're going on a kind of like a long road trip. It's almost like a bonding experience, even though these guys clearly all know each other very well at this point. This is a different experience for this team to kind of undergo this type of travel and this type of schedule and perform. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how these teams react not being in one of their home grounds. I was thinking that a team like the Cubs, you know, might be disadvantaged by not having a team come play in Wrigley Field with all the quirks that presents. Not so sure that the dimensions or anything like that is going to play a big part in the outcome of this series, but it will certainly be interesting to see how these teams deal with this very unique situation.
Very unique indeed is what we're looking at. Joe Patrick joining us, wrapping up with him before we go. Thoughts quickly on the other series, Dodgers, Padres. What do you get there? Just quickly, what do you think of that, and what can we look for?
Well, I can't wait to watch it, you know, because those are just two really quality teams with a bunch of really fun players to watch. And so it's just going to be a great series to watch, and I'm just excited for it. That's, I think, my first reaction. But then the other reaction is that, you know, it's kind of a win-win in terms for the Braves if you're looking, you know, at who you're going to play the next series, because kind of both of those teams are teams you wouldn't have wanted to see in the postseason. So it's at least nice that they're going up against each other, and one of them's got to knock the other one out. Of course, you're going to have to play the winner, and that's going to be a very difficult challenge in the NLCS if you advance. But, you know, I just can't wait to watch those two teams. I think they're probably the top two teams in terms of the Vegas odds. I'm not sure if that's even true, but they've got to be two of the most talented teams in the National League this year, along with the Braves. So it'll just be a great series to watch, and I think that whoever wins that series will clearly be the deserved winner and be one of the World Series favorites for sure.
Before you leave, Joe, an insignificant tidbit on your way out. 1951, this was the day Giants and the Dodgers in the League Championship Series. The shot is hit. It's called the shot around the world because the Korean War was going on, and the servicemen had their little transistor radios and heard these two combatants go at it. Who were the two principals in the shot heard around the world, Joe?
The Giants? Oh, are we talking teams or
yes,
the players?
Yes, the players, the players.
Yastrzemski? No.
No.
I didn't mean to put you on a spot like that. I'm sorry. But this was the day that Bobby Thompson hit the home run off of Ralph Branca.
Bobby Thompson. Okay. Those names wouldn't have been the ones I came up with.
The shot heard around the world. One of the most famous plays in Major League Baseball history was on this day. That's why I brought it up. So your insignificant tidbit of the day. That's why I gave it to you that way. So don't feel bad that you didn't get it, man. But listen, as always, I'm sorry.
I said I've been dated here on the show.
Well, that's okay. No, like I said, it's insignificant stuff. Happened way back when. But listen, we're going to check in with you next week as the series continues. Enjoy your baseball day, college football day, and the rest of your weekend, man.
Sounds good, guys. You too. Good catching up.
Joe, thanks a lot. Speaking of college football, we're going to wrap the show up. Getting you prepared for a full day of college football. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg in an unusual position. Actually, it was our position, and we moved away to the suburbs, but now we've come back. We've come back to our.
Is that the way you want to put it? Is that the way you want to put it?
Well, that's what came out of my mouth. Listen, I'm not half the stuff that's come out. Well, I won't say half of it, but this stuff that's come out of me this morning, I'm like a little kid at Six Flags for the first time in a year. You know, when you just run around acting just, you know, well, like a little kid would, and there's all kinds of silliness that's just been coming out of me this morning, which some of which I got to clean up. But starting with Katharine Hepburn and Lauren Bacall, I always confuse those two.
You did.
Listen, real quick. Everybody, including my partner, Mr. Crenshaw, has had those moments on the air, whether it was television or radio, where you have just gone down the rabbit hole with a story, and then when you're done, you realize there was a little component of that story that was just off.
Just one detail. Just one detail.
One little detail. And it's not like I was... It's not like I'm talking about the difference between Katharine Hepburn and Cicely Tyson. I'm talking about two women who look kind of like each other, right?
Yep.
They kind of look like each other. So, I was confusing Katharine Hepburn with Lauren Bacall in the story I told earlier. But the story was absolutely true.
It was outstanding.
It was absolutely true. It was a great story. But I got it wrong, and I went through the wall like there's a Greg, like a Bugs Bunny cutout. There's a Greg cutout. I went through it that hard and that fast, and I've left that behind. So, you know, I didn't shortchange you on the enthusiasm behind that story. I won't have time today. I'll tell it tomorrow. I found out when I'm going to start shooting my TV show.
Oh, really?
Well, I found out in a way, and guess who told me?
Who was that?
Bryant Gumbel. I got to save this. Now, this is a true story because this has to do with me. But, yeah, I found out when I watched Real Sports. And I will tell that story tomorrow when we start talking about the NFL. And, again, tomorrow, by the way, we will be on our usual Sunday morning. But we're going to be on from 6 until 10 tomorrow morning because the Falcons are going to be playing Monday Night Football. So we'll have a little extra time. Some of our guests are going to be Karen Pastana, who always comes on when we talk about major tennis events. French Open's going on, so Karen will join us. Also, Adam Alexander, who he's another guy who deserves his own intro music.
Yeah,
but what he did for us when we came back from the pandemic and the only thing that was happening was NASCAR, Adam was the guy we went to, and he joined us like 3-4 weeks in a row and kept us up on what was going on in the world of NASCAR. And he was on the front lines of what was going on when the movement and NASCAR were kind of in lockstep with each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I can't wait to get his input, the thoughts about Michael Jordan coming on board, and then the schedule. We get our second race back at AMS.
Yeah.
We're going to get a second race next year, so and the schedule was released. So looking forward to talking with Adam about
and
that.
And we have to acknowledge, I'm sure at some point there's an Ed Clark fingerprint in getting that second race back. So I know he's retired from his position, but he will still be a part of what goes on at Atlanta Motor Speedway. So them getting their second race back, you're right, is monumental. Sekou Smith, who's down in the bubble, he's going to join us tomorrow.
And he still has T-shirts.
Who does?
Remember when we talked to Seiko? Remember they told him when he went down and said, make sure you pack plenty of T-shirts. Don't bring anything down there that you couldn't leave. So he packed a bunch of T-shirts, and we'll see if he still got T-shirts when we talk to him tomorrow.
And, of course, even though the Falcons are playing Monday night, it's a football Sunday, and it's been a couple weeks since we've had a bond. We're going to be joined by D. Orlando Ledbetter. So D. Led's going to join us tomorrow. Speaking of people with their own theme music, that's our show for tomorrow. So, again, we'll be on from 6 until 10. Sam, I'm sitting here as we get ready to head into a college football day and night. Bulldogs are playing tonight. I was looking at the record between these two coaches, Kirby and Gus. And not only has Kirby handled him as far as head coach with Georgia, but going back to his days at Alabama as an assistant.
Right.
He's up 4-2 there, but he's 4-1 as a head coach here. So I don't know how much that means. I don't know what to expect. People are talking about the Bulldogs as far as national championship again this year. But this is, you know, get your popcorn ready for tonight. The, you know, this sort of matchup, does it always deliver? And you kind of hope it does, and looking forward to it tonight.
It's a game we normally see in November toward the back end of the schedule, and it was going to be moved this year even before the schedule changes due to the virus. There was the plan. The Southeastern Conference had made a move to make sure that to try to get teams playing teams in their division going toward the end of the schedule. Remember, the Auburn is in the West. Right. But it's such a traditional rivalry. They played for a long time. They started at Piedmont Park. They played for a number of years at Memorial Stadium in Columbus, Georgia, before they had the games on their separate campuses. So a lot of tradition. At one time, you know, Auburn was coached by Pat Dye, who was a Georgia grad, and Georgia's coached by Vince Dooley, who was an Auburn grad. Right. So, I mean, there's so much tradition and so much with these two programs. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch them act it out and play. Later on today.
These guys have got their quarterback situation coming back around. I know there was some concern last week. We talked to our guy Ken, who's Ken Roundtree, who's our other producer, who's a big Georgia Bulldogs fan, and there was he was wondering why one of the guys wasn't cleared to play, and anyway, I don't know how to dissect this game, because again, when you talk about this kind of rivalry, when you talk about this type of game, you just, at least for me, I just want to sit back and watch what happens, especially when it comes to college. I can never predict, with the exception of a few programs, how they're going to look.
Yeah.
And I, this is one of them, and I just don't know. And
well,
so
you're watching for a lot of things. You're watching to see whoever the quarterback's going to be. You know, quarterback is now – Daniels is now clear to play. Let's see if he plays. Coach Kirby holds the cards close to the vest all week. Would not say who his quarterback's going to be. You'll find out at game time. And make sure you have a roster in front of you with everybody's name on it. Or by a program if you go into the game, because that's the whole thing. He's chosen to keep that a secret until game time. But either way, I agree with Chris Marler says. It's the Georgia defense that makes the difference and allowed them to stay around the game until the offense regrouped last week. And if they need to do the same thing this week, I think that defense is capable of doing that again today.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Let's talk about some of the other matchups, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Actually, speaking of Chris, I mentioned earlier to him, and I know he kind of said it tongue-in-cheek, but people are saying that Tennessee is back. And this is one of those programs, even if, and of course we won't see it this year because they won't have the student body in the stadium, but, you know, this is one of those stadiums that I 3-7 points, I don't know what the crowd will give you because of the noise that comes out of that stadium. Over 100,000 people in there. But it has taken this long after Phil Fulmer's gone for them to talk about this program being back. How long has that been?
It's been, you know, been some years before he came back as athletic director. He's back, but just, you got to remember, I went there last year with the Georgia State team and smacked them in the mouth and took their lunch money. So, I mean, they didn't know that's the fact that team became a team the back end of last season. Mm-hmm. Georgia State timed them right. They didn't have their identity. And they went up there and they played great football, pushed Tennessee around. They were great athletes, elite athletes, 4-star, 5-star high school recruits, but they weren't a team. They became that later on in the season, and we'll see just how good that team is as they progress through the season. They won't have any problems with Missouri at all. To me, that won't be a big test for them, but the test will be coming as they get into the division play. Will the Tennessee-Florida game be the big deal like it used to be? And when they play Georgia later on, they kind of flip-flop spaces with Auburn. This is usually around the time of the schedule when Georgia would play Tennessee. Tennessee's mm-hmm. going to be later this year. So we'll find out what they're really made of a little further down the schedule.
I was going to say, you brought up Georgia State, and I know that was locally we had talked a little bit about that earlier, but yep. I love the way they took their lunch money.
Thank you very much for that check. Tell us next time you want us to come and beat you and take your money. Georgia State's at home today at 12 noon. They play at East Carolina, and Georgia State forced to take the weekend off last week. They were supposed to play at Charlotte. Some tests came back with some false positives, so they were about to get on the bus. They said, don't get on the bus. They didn't get to go up to Charlotte to play that game last week. They're ready to play this week. Everyone's at practice. Everyone's clear. Everyone's healthy as far as I know, and we look to see them go out and play against East Carolina. I mentioned earlier, this is East Carolina's first time back in Atlanta since they played in the last football game at Old Fulton County Stadium. That was the 92 Peach Bowl against NC State. Greg, that was the game they couldn't play back home. They had a riot at a game between NC State and East Carolina in Raleigh. East Carolina won the game. Their fans stormed the field and tore down both of NC State's goalposts. There were fights on the field. There were fights in the stands. And Jim Valvano, who was not just the basketball coach but the athletic director at the time, shut the series down. So we're not playing those guys anymore in football until the Peach Bowl scheduled the game for them to play that they couldn't play at home in the 92 Peach Bowl on New Year's Day. And East Carolina won that game. So they're coming almost back to the scene of that. They're going to be right across the street from where the old stadium was as East Carolina returns to Atlanta for the first time since the 92 Peach Bowl, the last football game at Fulton County Stadium, the last outdoor Peach Bowl game, which the Peach Bowl game was always plagued by horrific weather. For most years.
Yeah. If you're, by the way, joining us, and we're going to get out of here in just a second, I want to bring Jahi in real quick. You had mentioned during the ACC update where folks who wanted to see some of those games, what was the app that you had mentioned where folks...
That was for high school.
High school, excuse me.
Oh, the high school app. That's the NFHS Network. You go on there. It is subscription-based, but you can go on there. And most of the schools in the area are on the network, and they are... playing on there for all the, and they're trying to get everything set up for parents that aren't allowed to go to watch the game. So,
yeah. All right, well, there you go. Before I leave here, also, I wanted to mention, I'm sorry, Sam, but we got to cancel our trip this year to the Hawaii or the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah, that's right.
those are the two I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
We can't do that, man. Hey, listen, Jahi, want to thank you. We're going to miss you tomorrow, but hopefully you'll be back with us soon. Ken Roundtree is going to be producing our show. We got 4 hours tomorrow. Falcons are on Monday nights, so 6 until 10. Tomorrow, it is Sam and Greg. And enjoy your college football day. Mr. Crenshaw, enjoy your day. Jahi, you too?
You do as well.
You do as well, man. Thank you.
This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. And before we leave, Sam, what is this?
It is a game day Saturday.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.